Boker Tov. Today's daf is daf Samach. We're up to the two dots, the first two dots, one fifth of the way down. Anusat chaveron mefutat chaveron lo yisa. So we were speaking yesterday about what the halacha is legabi a kohen gadol who ends up actually taking beiser and iser hasei, which is the ki'im betulah ba'amav. Ki'im means you can't do it any other way, but the Torah doesn't say it in the lashon of velo yikach isha betulah. So if he takes anusat chaveron mefutat chaveron, so that's different than if he takes mefutat atzmo nisuat atzmo. Because if he takes now the mefutat atzmo, anusat atzmo, we said a svara yesterday, look, I mean, even if he would have taken her as a betulah, she's going to rapidly not be a betulah. And therefore, I mean, the Torah is certainly not saying once she becomes a betulah, he's supposed to get rid of her. And so in this case, he already slept with her. Okay, fine. He's not supposed to take her as a betulah, but he did. So what are you saying now? That now that he's living with her in a state of sin because she's a betulah, obviously there's no state of sin if she's his betulah. And that's always going to be that way. Therefore, there's no inyan of getting rid of her. Masha'inkein, if he takes anusat chaviro mufutat chaviro, there the Torah was never megala, that somehow it's mutter for him ultimately to remain involved with a woman who is ongoing state of being taken through a non-betula marriage. So over there, he's certainly not allowed to keep it. Now the shayla is, what's the din of the child? So we had a machloket yesterday. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov omer havlat chalal, v'chachamim omrim havlat kasher. Today we'd like to go into the mechanisms of that machloket. So first we have a psak halacha omer avun omer rav, halacha Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that a vlad is a chalal, even though the iser that the kohen was over here was apparently only the iser of a violation of an asay. He did not take the betulah he was supposed to take. V'chein omer Rav Gidol omer Rav. Rav was also quoted by Rav Gidol in the same way. Alok Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov. Ikin yamri. Now, there is a lashon that says, and we're going to see that this is problematic, that Rav Huna said, omer Rav Huna omer Rav, my time at Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov. And not only did Rav Huna, according to this other lashon, not only did Rav Huna omer Rav say, Alok Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, but in this lashon, he also explained the logic of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. What is his svara to say that the vlad is a halal? Sovala ka Rabbi Elazar. It's because he holds of Rabbi Elazar, who said, we saw already, we'll see more of it later, that any panui haba'al hapnuya, as long as the bia is a bia znus, and there's no intention of marriage, so no intention of marriage means a casual relationships are by definition considered to be znut, according to Rabbi Eliezer. He holds that that makes the woman a zona because she's being oseket, basically in just casual znus. So since he holds that, therefore when the Kohen now takes this woman, l'chatchilo over here, mechayev asay, so it's a biaznus. Once it's a biyaznus, she becomes a zonah. Once she's a zonah, it's an israelah. If it's an israelah, then it's no different than always taking the loy chalel zaro. So there's no way to take her without at the same time creating an iser of a lav, and that's his reasoning. He says the Gemara, well, it's a nice reason, except for the fact that it can't be true. Me sovelakav, I say, how could we say? The Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is paskening like Rabbi Elazar, and that's the basis of his saying that the vlad is considered to be a halal, even though there's only an isra say. V'akaymelon mishnat Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov kavenaki. We know that we have a klal gadol in psak that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, although he doesn't have much to say, that we quote in the Mishnah and according to most Rishonim in the Braita as well. It's just a kav. It's just a little bit, but whatever it is naki. It's always true lalaka. Which would mean that we would paskin like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that the vlad is a halal, and yet in this other issue, which you're claiming is the whole basis of this psak, namely that he holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says that casual sex is considered to be znut, we don't paskin like that. Because Yilu Baha Amar Rav Amram, now take out the Omar Rav, because if it's an Omar Rav, we don't need to first prove Mishnas Rav Eliezer Ben Yaakov Kavan Aki. We could just prove it as a contradiction in Rav, right? So Rav Amram is quoted as saying here that Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar. Fact is, we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar. If the whole svara of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov is because he holds it, Rabbi Elazar, and Mishnat Rabbi Eliezer is Kavan Aki, then we'd also have to paskin like Rabbi Elazar, because otherwise we're undermining the Pesach of Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, and we're saying it's not Klal. Kash. Okay, that approach is indeed a problematic. In other words, there must be another thing that forms the basis of the Machloket about whether the Vlad is a Chalal. Because we have to paskin Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov in this, and it can't be because she became a Zona. So what then is the Machloket? Because since we've just proved that promiscuity per se is not znus, so what would be the basis then of creating a halal from something that's not an Isser Lav? We're saying it's not an Isser Lav. So Rav Ashi says it's very simple. There's clearly a machlokas about whether halalut is dependent on an Isser Lav or not. Maybe. The Isser over, which is an Isser Aseh, that's exactly what the machlokas is. The Yesh halal, Michai ve'aseh kamiflake, the machlokas is directly nogea this question. Can there be a halal as the outgrowth of a relationship that is only illicit because it violates an aseh? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Savar. Now, obviously, what I'm trying to say is that according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who holds that in a case where a Kohen Gadol takes a bi'ula and of his friend, Mufutat Chaveiro, obviously it wasn't married by his friend, because if she was married by his friend, there would be no way for him to take her. Whether the friend died or the friend divorced, it would be Nisr Lav, so that's not to be discussed. So the only case that we could possibly have is where the friend that slept with her, either through seduction or through rape, it can't be through marriage. So over there, obviously what I'm saying is, if he holds you could create a halal, in that case, he holds Yesh halal, Michai ve'aseh. The Rabbanan who say that, no, the child is not a halal, Rabbanan Savri, in halal, Michai ve'aseh. If that's the machloket, we need to find its roots. My time to replace a minyaka. What would be the basis of this machloket? It's very clear. Very interesting posik that introduced. Remember, the Torah introduces the concept of a hui shabbat tovel yikach right at the opening of the discussion of the dinim of the Kohen. What is a Kohen allowed to marry? So first, talks about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is supposed to take hui shabbat tovel yikach. Okay, mitzvah said. Then it switches to the Isurim. And it talks about as an Isurlav, Almana, Grusha, Zona, Chalala. These he's certainly not allowed to take. And then it says, Ki'im bitula bi'amav yikach isha. Now, immediately following that pasuk, it says, V'lo yechalel zaro, and that's where we learn out the din of halal. The implication being is that the din of halal follows directly the yisurim that were mentioned in the pasuk immediately prior. So that pasuk mentioned five separate isurim, correct? Almana, grusha, chalala, zona, and ki'im isha biftuleh. So the question is, look, I mean, if that's the case, then it means that all five of them equally produce chalalut. Therefore, I say, so it's Rabbi Eliezer, I can read the pasuk. The pasuk basically is saying that a kohen who would take someone who is not ki'im bitula be'amav would also be v'loy chalal zaro. How else can you look at it? And therefore, yesh chalal michai ve'aseh. So let's see that inside again. Dichtiv amanah grusha v'chalala zonat elo lo yikach ki'im betula be'amav yikach isha. Okay. If that's the case, all of the other ones make a chalal. Dichtiv lo yichalal zaro be'amav v'akulu. Referring to all of the above five women. V'rabban. And the Rabbanan says, so how do you explain the fact then in the middle of the pasuk it says et ela lo yikach ki'im betula be'amav? What do you mean et ela lo yikach? What's the ela telling me? So the ela is basically a line that's drawn between the case of the almanah grusha chalala zona on the one hand. Let's keep that separate. That's what ela said. Let's keep that separate. We keep that separate. Now I'm mentioning But remember that I said previously, v'hu ishab biftulea yikach. Okay, and now lo yechaleol zaro. Now we understand. So that means that the Eila is telling me, do not apply the lashon of chalalut in the next pasuk to all of the above cases, only Eila to these cases. All right. Now, obviously, I mean, you could ask, maybe just the opposite. Maybe the Eila separates the above cases and only the lower cases connected to the din of chalalut. But as Tosis points out, but that's illogical. What do you say? Only the Aseh creates chalalut, not the Lotas. If any direction, obviously, I'll say, so what about the weird fact that the closest thing to the Yisr of Chalal is the Ki'im? That's not really such a problem. Because the Ki'im is a reference back to the previous pasuk. Then amana grusha chalala zona etela lo yikach. But ki'im, remember, there would also be an issur that was based on the previous pasuk. But the most recent thing that I said, etela lo yikach lo yechala zero be'amad. Very reasonable. Well, what is going on with that machine, other than making noise? Is it doing something? Yeah. Okay.
It's on swing.
But what should be done anyway is certainly to close the window, which is letting in an awful lot of noise. So, that would be the simple way to read the pasuk, but the Rabbanan holds that the simple way is ignoring the Eila. So what is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who learns that all of the above, including the Ki'im Betulah Mi'amav, all five women are included in the Veloya Chalel Zaro, why then is the Eila up here, there? The Eila should be telling me something. Of course it is, says Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's Eila as opposed to a Nida. So that a Kohen who sleeps with a Nida, despite the fact that it's a Yisur Karet and so on, that's not included in Chalalut. Eila, these that are defined by their permanent Yisur, but if he's sleeping with his own wife, with a Nida, doesn't produce Chalalut. Kuman Ozo Hadetanya. And who would be the author of the following braita? Me Eila, darshing the word Eila et Eila lo yikach. Me Eila ata osech halal. Vi ata osech halal mi nida. Come on, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Obviously, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, he's the one who says the word Eila is the exclusive of nida, which is the basis of that braita. Now, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, if that's the case, so according to him, Eila is not creating a set of Almanach Rishad and so on, right? According to him, it's just Eila is a mute. This and nothing else. Nothing else what? Meaning not a Nida. But all of the cases hereby mentioned, including Ki'im, Isha Biftula, Ki'im Biftula, rather Me'amav, those are all included. So then isn't it a rather odd place to put the Eila in the middle? If you're telling me the Eila doesn't come to create two separate classes over here, why does it appear in the middle of the pasuk? Well, all you should say is, you can't take the Amana Grusha Chalala Zona V'hu Isha V'tolea Yikach but Eila Lo Yikach. So then the Eila would be excluding the Nida. Kasha. That's a problem. The placement is a problem. There's a brilliant Yamshel Shlomo who explains the Shita, the Gemara over here, Aliba, the Rambam. The Rambam has an amazing Shita Bechlal so we haven't really reached the discussion of this thing. But the Rambam holds that despite the fact that the Gemara over here paskins indeed the din of Chalalut, it's not a function of the sexual relationship, it's a function of the marital relationship. So therefore, if he hasn't been nosay the Bu'ula, he will not produce a Chalal. He has to actually marry her. In which case, the Yamshel Shlomo wants to use the Eila to be Mechale. So that when it comes to the Almanach Grusha Chalala Zona, the very fact that there was a relationship that could produce a child, whether it was made through his suin or not, is V'lo Yechalel Zaro. V'hu Yishav Tala Yikach. That's Tavka through Likuchin. That's the only way to create the Chalalut. And so it works out very well, according to the Rambam. So we don't see Tiyufta. There's a kasha, there's a problem. No, you have to know a little bit more to answer this question. It's not answerable on the surface.
According to Rabbanan, Nida with Nida.
we make a halal.
That's a machlokas. Very interesting machlokas. Machlokas Rishonim. What is the Gemara coming out with? Is it taking for granted that Nida not, or is it saying Adarabba Nida yes?
I'll leave it at that. Is it talking Mamish Bisman Demo, or during this Yuraya Misra?
Makes no difference. Whenever she's Tamei Anida. Tanarabba. Another place, the reason we're bringing this in here is because there's a very curious stress on virginity when it comes to kuhuna. So the simple place where we find, and it's very interesting because, I mean, in Bichlal and cultic practice, virgins are very important, right? Bichlal, cultic, virgins are an important thing in terms of human sacrifices. So there's a primal relationship to the nature of virginity as being created closer to the earth, all of these various issues. It's a fascinating thing that in terms of the kahuna, the higher you go in the aspect of the kahuna, the more you find that the Torah indeed views virginity as an important nekuda. We find virginity as a nekuda in terms of damages. Somebody sleeps with a woman who's a bitula, so okay, there's a special knas and so on. We find it's nogea also in terms of the difference between the onesh of an eshesish, if you're talking about a nara, or a mehurasa, or a bitula, okay. But as far as giving it a sense of kedusha, particularly, we only find when it comes to a kohen gadol and in one other place, also related to the kuhuna. What is that? That the Torah says that if a kohen has to be mitabel on a mate, he has to be mitame himself for those seven people who are closest to him. But a sister is only considered to be closest to him if she is habitula, achotule achotu habitula. So, layitama. Okay. So that means that we need to establish what is the definition of a betula when it comes to akoto betula. Now, we saw when it comes to the betula in the terms of the Kohen Gadol, we have a machlokas. What exactly is a bogeret included as being a non betula? Mukadetz may be included, even though it doesn't have anything to do with a man. What would be the din of achoto? So, first question is, we need to establish when it says asher lo hayeta la'ish. There's two ways of understanding that. Lo hayeta could be a classic reference to havaya. Havaya is another word for kedushin. Vahayeta la'ish acher, right? So havaya could mean asher lo hayeta la'ish, there was never arusa to another person, even if he hadn't slept with her. So the first thing we need to establish is whether that's true. Because there could be another meaning to Hayatala Ish. In the context of Betula, Asher Lo Hayatala Ish, then it would be saying that the Betula we're referring to over here is Bedavka Betula in terms of sexuality. Not a Betula in terms of the existence of Betulim. Nafkamina would be Legabe and Mukadesh. If you're telling me, Ha Betula Asher Lo Hayatala Ish, who was a betula because of the fact that she had never slept with a man, not because she hadn't had an accident that removed her betulim. So you're telling me now a different halacha than the one that applied to the Kohen Gadol. So all of this hinges on how we understand the word hayata. So if arusa, the definition of hayata is arusa, then it has nothing to do with, no relevance at all to the betula issue. So therefore, we first tackle that problem. Ask Gemara, what's the halacha? When it comes to Akhoto Arusa, we find that it's a machlokis. On the one hand, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yudah says, mitameila. Even though it says, asher lo hayata la'ish, that's not the meaning of hayata in this case. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, omrim, ein mitameila. Well, but once she's been Arusa to somebody else, then she was hayata la'ish. According to them, the meaning of hayata is the classic meaning, likuchin. Erisin. Now, in a case of anusa umefuta, so she was lamaisa not a betula because she was not a betula after having slept with a man. So then everybody agrees, but for sure in umetamela. What about if she's a mukat eitz? Continues the braita. If she's mukat eitz in metamela, divrei Rabbi Shimon, which is odd. because until now it's been Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon have been on the same side of the fence. All of a sudden, Reb Yossi drops out. I don't want to go that far, right? But Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon, for some reason, is willing to say that a mukat eitz, even though it is beferish aitalayish, mukat eitz, although she wasn't aitalayish, is not considered to be the betulah that's important. Now, I would have thought that since Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon both hold that a arusa eno metamela, so then that means that the word asher lo hayata, asher lo hayata means dafka in terms of the havaya of kedushin, not the havaya of the loss of betulin. So they should be agreed on this. And yet, for some reason, it's only Rabbi Shimon. Later, the Gemara is going to ask, what happened? Why did they split over this issue? So where does Rabbi Shimon get this halacha from? Rabbi Shimon... What? Oh, we're going to see. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ru'uyala Kohen Gadol Mitamela, She'ein Ru'uyala Kohen Gadol Ein Mitamela. So that means, according to Rabbi Shimon, we learned it out from the Kohen Gadol. If Betulah by Kohen Gadol excludes the Mukat Eish, would have to exclude the Mukat Eish when it comes to every Kohen being Metame to his sister. But how about a Bogeret? Surprisingly, Bogeret Metamela Divrei Kol Adam. Everybody agrees. Even Rabbi Meir, who passes Bogeret to a Kohen Gadol, when it comes to the Dinam of Tuma, he has a special Ribui that a Bogeret is considered to be a betula.
I thought you said that Rabbi Meir apostles a Bogeret.
I said a Bulgarian.
What you said,
I meant Bulgarian.
Right, okay.
I meant Bulgarian. Even though he passes Bulgarian to a Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't pass a Bulgarian over here.
Okay.
But you're also right. And that's also a way of looking at it. Okay. My time, huh? What exactly is the basis of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda that say over here that Achoto is considered to be, Arusa is considered to be still a Betulah to go ahead and to be Metamiter if she dies? So Achoto HaBetulah, all this comes to tell me is that Achoto HaBetulah means Prat LeAnusa Mufuta. Yocho Shani Motzi Af Mukat Eitz. You might think a Mukat Eitz also is excluded. Talmud Lomar Shelo Hayata LeIsh. The meaning of a shelo ayatala ish is misha avayata yedei ish. Yatzazo she'en avayata yedei ish. The point over here is that the meaning of hayata is in terms of the loss of her betulim, not in terms of marriage. So in context, it means habetulah shelo hayata, the betulah who did not become a non-betulah through a human, which means therefore that if she was a mukat eitz, so she's not included in this thing. Therefore, we will not be motzi a mukat eitz. A mukat eitz is still included, but it comes out that the two things are interrelated, correct? If asher lo hayatala ish means who never got married, so then an arusa would not be metamela. And a mukat eitz would be the equivalent of mukat eitz by Kohen Gadol. But since he holds it on the contrary, Mukateti is Metamela, because Ashelo Ayatala Yish is a definition of Betula. A Betula who is a Betula and did not lose her Betulim through a human, is what it means. Ashelo Ayatala Yish. So now there's no reason to say that an Arusa is not included. So these two dinam are very consistent. It depends how you learn the word Ayata. Yatzazo Shenav Ayata Yede Yish. Or continues the pasuk Hakrova Elav. Hakrova comes to tell me that l'rabot arusa, even one who is an arusa, we cannot learn out from elsewhere that she should be excluded, and we need to know how do we look at it. In other words, let's take the beginning of the pasuk. The pasuk keeps reflecting upon itself. If it hadn't said, says Rashi, if it hadn't said hakrova l'rabot arusa, then my natural response to Asher Lo Hayata would have been Havaya in terms of Erisin. Comes along the pastor, no, I don't mean that. I don't mean that. It's Kruvayla, so she still hasn't left the home. She accepted Kiddushin, and she still has a year to live at home before she goes to the Chuppah. So she's Kruvayla. How then do I understand Havaya in terms of Mukatetz? The Mukatetz is not included in the laws of Betulin. So in other words, the pasuk keeps redefining itself very carefully. So HaKrova means an Arusa is included. When it says a love is marbe the bogeret, so that even the bogeret is also in this case considered to be a betula. Wait, why do I need a pasuk for that? Alamalikra. I thought Rabbi Meir all along says the word betula would have meant afilu miktzat betula. That's why he darshins, remember, 2 days ago, he darshins bivetula and then bivetulea. He's got three separate words here. So here we don't have three separate words. We have one word, betula. Rabbi Meir said, my response to the word betula would have meant as long as she has some elements of betula. So why over here do I need a pasuk to tell me? And no, it's okay if she has some elements of betula. Of course it's okay. It only says betula. Why wouldn't it be okay? She has some elements of betula. It's true. You see, where else did the Torah tell me a din of betula? From the halach of nara murasa. So mala ala nara afkanami nara. See, I might have thought that just like the word betula as it appears in the din of anes. So over there it says that the knas is chal in a case where he rapes a nara betula. So that means that the Torah relates virginity to youth, in the sense of the specific period of Na'arut, which is only 6 months, really, from the end of Katnut, the onset of puberty, to the coming of Bagrut. But after that, we don't consider her to be fully Betula. Therefore, it's interesting, in modern Hebrew, they use the word they could do in English, virginity, has come to apply to males because they view it entirely as a sexual issue. So they've created a new word in Hebrew called a batul, which is nonsensical. but the idea over here is bedavka bitulim, so we have a physical indication of the nature of her status here. So I would have said, okay, so if that's the case, let me learn it out over here. Same thing. Just like over there, bitula is defined as a nara, is a bitula. So over here also, once she's a bogeret, she should not be included. Forget about the implications, the physical implications about the bitulim themselves, that they change through the process of puberty, they change in their thickness and in their protectiveness. So they're forgetting about that. She's not a bitula if she's not a nara. So malala naraf kanara. Kamashron, therefore the Torah has to add that word in love to include even a bogeret. And what about Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon? How do they look at the pasuk? They say that an arusa is not included. Well, they say start the other way around. La'achoto betula. Okay, so she can't be an arusa, she can't be a mefuta, she can't be a mukat eitz, because she's not a betula. Asher lo hayata. Okay, so then hayata has to do with havaya. So then that means that she never accepted Kiddushin. So she can't be an Arusa. Pratla Arusa. HaKrova. Krova comes to say that if she's now a non-Arusa, even though she had been an Arusa, so her husband divorced. Okay, so now she's back home. So she's Krova. So that's what it's talking about, an Arusa that was Nitgarsha. Now her brother, when she dies, her brother would be Metamila. A love comes to be Marba the Bogeret, and therefore, if we start with the opposite assumptions, we end up with the Pasuk telling us the opposite all the way through. Wait, HaKrova comes to tell me that Arusa shouldn't be Asha. I thought, what? Reb Shimon a minute ago said she has to be Ruya L'Kohen Gadol. If she's a Grusha, she's not Ruya to anybody. So how could that be that Reb Shimon all of a sudden says, even if she's a Grusha, now she's a Metamila? She ain't Ruya L'Kohen Gadol, ain't Metamila. True. But that's only in terms of the Betula, because the Torah says, Akruva. So once the Torah is marbek rova, it's telling me there's two different standards that are applied over here. In terms of her, the relationship of her virginous existence, so she's still an unspoiled sister, so to speak. So there we define it in these terms. When it comes to her status of marriageability to the kahuna, it's a different issue. So she's a grusha, then the big deal. Then I'm being married, even though she's a grusha. So why not say the same thing by mukate tznani? Why not say krova means, okay, I mean, so she's still in a very innocent, virginous state that hasn't been removed from the home of the kohen. Nafkamina, if she has an accident on her bicycle and she's a mukate, it's a big deal. So isn't that also krova? No, because krova is hakrova is one, not two cases. So it's either going to be the case where she's back home, or it's going to be the case of the girl on the bicycle. But it can't be both. Okay, so I mean, why pick this case? Maraita, I mean, why is this case worse? You're telling me a girl plops down on her bicycle, loses her betulim, very common thing. Well, she's just exercising on her bicycle. Nowadays, it came out there's no betulim because of bicycles. So she rides around on a bicycle, no longer has betulim. So you're telling me that that is worse than if she was an arusa, and she now is divorced. What gives you that idea, Maraita? Because look, I mean, there is an essential difference. The difference is one has affected her physically and one has not affected her physically. So it makes more sense to say that it's the physical impact that's important than the status that for a while she was considered to be a Sharaita Aliyish. Now she's not a Aliyish. What's the big deal? That doesn't affect her betulim in any way. It just affects the legality of her position. Yes?
Is that really, did Rebbe really approve today because of bicycles that women are really not sweet?
I didn't infer that, I said that.
Well, I was just trying to make sure that I...
Yeah, I don't mean only bicycles, of course. I mean in general, because of the level of exercise of working out. But it's kimat, you never find a woman who's a betulah in the sense of the Gemara's betulah, finding dam, and so on and so forth.
We're not just cautious of something happening.
No, we no longer have that basis.
Thank you, Rebbe.
Rebbe Yossi. Now, Rebbe Yossi dropped out here, right? Where did Rebbe Yossi drop out? At the point that we were starting to talk about the Mukate issue. When it comes to the Arusa, I was very happily together with Rebbe Shimon, everything is fine. All of a sudden, Rebbe Shimon stands alone. Why did Rebbe Yossi drop out? So, Midishavki Labarzuge, if Rebbe Yossi now has dropped out from his friendly Chavrusa until now, his pair, something's wrong. I mean, it must be that in Mukas 8, he's joined the other side. He's joined up with Rebbe Meir. Minole, how does he know indeed that over here the Mukat Eitz would still be included? Well, it says Asher Lo Hayatala Ish. Lo Hayatala Ish. But Afikta, you used that on. I thought you said that was used to tell me Arusa. You can't use it both ways. How can you say? That's crazy. Because it's contradictory. If the Hayata is in terms of Erisin, then it doesn't define the Betulim. Yeah, but I'm asking you, why mention the Ish? I mean, who else was she Hayata to? A robot? Obviously, if we're talking about Erisin, the only way to have Erisin is with a human. So therefore, if it adds Ish, it's got to be talking about something physical. Oh, so then that means that there's two different levels that the Torah is addressing over here. One is the classic Havaya of Erisin, which I don't need to mention Ish for. The other is Havaya in terms of what happened to her Betulim. What happened to her Betulim is what happens to Betulim when they're in contact with men. That's what happened to her Betulim. But not in contact with bicycles. That's the point. So Shalom Hayata, what's the problem? Le'ish. Therefore, he learns when it comes to this. I agree with Rebbe Shimon in terms of the definition of the word Havaya. But what I'm saying is, I cannot agree with him when it comes to his implications in terms of Mukateitz, because otherwise, how do you explain that extra word, Le'ish? Therefore, I say, Lo Hayta, over here, Chad is from the word Lo Hayta. Chad is from the word Le'ish. Okay, then you said, a love comes to include Bogeret? I thought Rebbe Shimon says, Betula would have meant that if it just says the word betula, then it would mean betula shlema, and betula shlema now would have been telling me it has to be betula shlema, which is the bogeret, the non-bogeret. Says the Gemara, yeah, that's true. Once I saw this pasuk, taima didei nami hatam miacha. Rabbi Shimon says, look, how do I know that? I know that from this pasuk. If the Torah comes over here and needs an extra word, the word elav, to tell me, oh, but a bogeret is okay, doesn't that mean that without telling me that a bogeret is okay, that the word betula would mean that a bogeret is not okay, correct? So michlal de betula, if it had just said betula, wouldn't have said elav, I would have naturally concluded that betula means betula shlema. Now I know that. Now that I know that, let me go back to Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol says betula. That already would have meant, but not a bogeret, because she's not a betula shlema. Therefore, I begin with that hanacha because of this pasuk. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Yomer, Yoret chutami bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad shera lekuna. We know that if a giyoret had never been capable of having sexual relations, she's not considered to be a zona to a kohen, and she would be muteret to the kohen. Shenema, and where do we see that? From this week's parsha. What do we find when Pinchas is sent out? V'chol hataf bin ashi, asher lo yad'u mishkav zachar, hechayulachem. Now, hechayulachem means all of you includes Pinchas. I mean, Pinchas is the leader. So Moshe is telling Pinchas, you can take, including you, you're a Kohen, you can take any woman as long as she was not a Yodat Mishkav Zachar. How do we know that means Pchutami Bat Shalosh? Maybe it just means a woman who's still a virgin. Oh, that I know from the following. Yes, the Gemara. So first the Gemara says, Rabbanan. I mean, according to Rabbanan, who don't agree with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, how do they, I mean, what does it mean? What do you mean? It says Chayulachem means to keep to work in your homes, to clean out the sewers. Lavadim l'shfachot. I mean, well, who's to say that you could use them to sleep with? Right, so then what's enough to mean how old they are? I mean, well, I understand. Who cares whether they were Yadu Mishkav Zachar? Iyachi bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad nami. If we're saying now, getting back to your deal, Mishkav Zachar, so then what does that have to do with how old you are? 3 years old, 5 years old, 15 years old. Lo yadu mishkav zachar. No. You're missing the point over here. All of this is taken for granted, the diak of Rav Huna. Rav Huna points out, the pasuk contradicts itself. Rav Huna wrote it. On the one hand, it says, kol isha yodat ish, mishkav zachar harog. Okay? The Torah discusses any woman that has had relations with a man has to be killed, among benot binyan. Which implies that no matter what age, ha'ena yodat kimu, you're allowed to keep any woman who doesn't have, who never had relations with a man. Michlal, da'ataf, if you're not talking about isha, when it comes to the taf, so then it doesn't matter. Ben yadu, ben lo yadu, kaimu. Whatever happens to taf is unimportant. Then on the other end, it says, V'chol ha'taf b'nashim asher lo yadu, mishkav zachar achi yolachem. Now make up your mind. Is it called isha yodat ish, or is it called ha'taf asher lo yadu? Which one? So hoya, the mashma that even taf, young children, that had relations, harogu. Therefore, the only way to understand this is to say that the Torah is distinguishing between the capability of sexual relations, not the actuality. So that when we're talking about taf, we need to split the taf into two parts. The taf, asher lo yadu, we're talking about those who could not have known, meaning even if they had such relations, they wouldn't have been called sexual relations. That's beneath the age of 3, where the act of via is not considered to be an act of via at all. And you're calling it sex only because you're used to using the word. But the word for those relations has technical definitions of the Torah, just like everything else is defined by the halacha. It's not simply the physical proximity of two objects. And therefore, over here, it's not shayach yudat mishkav zachor. So, havei omer b'ru'u yali b'yala katuv medaber. The Torah, therefore, must be talking about that the taf, once it's shayach for there to be, re'uya labia, that's sufficient. When it says, kol ha'taf asher lo yadu'u hecheyu, so that would mean that anything beyond taf, even though lo yada harogu, is how we understand it. So whether or not you actually had relations with a man, but if you're re'uya liba'el, then harogu. This is the only way of understanding the contradiction in the pasuk, because there's no way to explain the word yoda'at to mean literal yediyah, to mean actually having had such relations. Because then how are you going to be metare? It's the pasuk, right? The pasuk contradicts itself. First it says it in terms of isha, then it says it in terms of taf. Therefore, it must mean not yodat, it must mean the potentiality of yodat. Therefore, what it's saying is, any woman who is ru'uya to have relations, harogu. Therefore, so we're saying, any isha at all, includes anything above 3 years old that is capable of the yodat. Don't be medayik that, well, if it comes to a non-isha who's a taf, then it doesn't matter. No, that's not what it means. It means that I'm now defining the difference between isha and non-isha. The difference is not puberty or anything like that. The difference is 3 years old. Because what we're talking about is hayodat in terms of being capable of being yodat. That's the point. So the hachayulachem is talking about bedavka, one who is incapable of having relations. Therefore, she's less than 3 years old. So now when it says kol ha'taf asher lo yadu, it means that's the only case that you could keep. Anything beyond that, even though she was not yodat literally, but she's capable of yodat, there she is going to be killed.
After the war, they were stuck with a few thousand of 3 year old babies, baby girls, better be taken care of.
It's good for the youthfulness. Don't apply your modern sensitivity.
You can't worry about those just.
Tanya Nami Hark.
Mothers were killed with all the older sisters.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot, you're right, you're going to have a lot of young kids to take care of. Tanya Nami Hark, b'kol isha yodat ish. This means not yodat literally, but ru'uya liba'el, one who could have known a man. Hakosu medaber. Ata omer ru'uya liba'el. You say that's what it means. Maybe it means exactly what it says, yodat ish. Oh, ina olam yivala mamach. No, can't be, because when it says, v'chol ataf ben hashim asher lo yadu mishkav zachar, how do you explain that contradiction? Any of the taf. Ave omer. It must be that the Torah is coming to further whittle this down, to tell me that anyone is ru'uyali ba'el, that's the one that's considered to be harog. So what does this mean? That they got access to the computer databases to know how old every child was? I mean, so how are they supposed to know? Mino yadu. I mean, you can't go around star massacring people. You have to know whether they need to be massacred. So how do you know? Mino yadu. Amri v'na barbiz, amri b'shima chasida, very simply. Every room the thing had seats. They used the seats, but there are gneis. Kosher ponei amori kot. Anyone, if they passed in front of the seats, her face would turn yellow. Biyaduashi ruyalibaya. So we would recognize immediately that she is now open to sexual relations. Kosher in ponei amori kot. Biyaduashi inaru ruyalibaya. On Reb Nachman, this is basically, we become the idea of siman le'avera hadrokan. People who are over averas of znus, they turn yellow. So they get jaundiced, hepatitis, whatever. That we see from here, because that was the siman. Kayotze b'davar ata omer. We find a similar case where they needed to be makbid on who had had sexual relations. One other interesting place. In the civil war with Binyamin. So everybody needed to take part in that war, and they swore that anybody who isn't going to take place in that war is not going to be viewed as part of Klal Yisrael, because they viewed this, the ability to stand up against that type of behavior that took place in Yavesh, in Pelegesh Begiva, as defining the future of Klal Yisrael. So everybody comes, and because of this one little maisa, okay, so one town basically gang raped the girl, Grace Gedula. They destroyed the entire Shevet of Binyamin. Unbelievable. But not only that, when they found out that there was one city, Yavesh Gilad, that did not participate in the war against Binyamin, they massacred the entire city. Okay, that sort of established some levels of morality upwards for a while, you know? Okay, so, but over there, they found, Vayimtzu b'yoshvei Gilad, Yavesh Gilad, arba meod na'ara betula asher lo yadu ish l'mishkav zachar. So over there it also says that after what happened was that Binyamin was left without any women who had been destroyed in the Arei Binyamin. And the few people of Binyamin that had escaped, when afterwards Klal Yisrael had charata that they destroyed Binyamin because they darshan the pasuk, that ultimately there was going to be Malchus coming of Binyamin. So they said, but now who are they going to marry? Because everyone had now taken on this shvuah, any participant of the war, taken on this shvuah that they're not going to give their daughters to Bnei Binyamin, which meant that Binyamin was going to die out completely. So now this was a disaster. So they found the people of Yavesh Gilad who had not taken place in the to take part in the war. So they were massacred. But there it says that only the ones who had relations with a man, those women of Yavesh Gilad were killed. But anyone who hadn't were to be left alive. From those, Binyamin could marry. So, okay. So they found now 400 na'arot that were betulot asher lo yadu ish l'mishkav zachar. Mina yadei, there also, it's a strange situation. How did they know, what did they put everybody through a physical examination to see if they were betulot? I mean, if they're going to do that kind of examination, they'll make them non-betulot. So what did they do? Omer of Kahana, they did something very smart. They took an open barrel of wine and had these girls sit on the barrel of wine. If they were bu'ulot, then that means that the wine would be absorbed by the blood that lines the womb. Right? Because you have very thick blood lining there. So it's automatically going to absorb an awful lot of molecules of the wine, which means that now when they breathe out, they're going to have the smell of wine in their breath, which will be exhaled to their lungs. If, however, they were betulot, then the smell of the wine would not be able to penetrate, so then they wouldn't get the smell of wine on their breath. And that way they could tell who it was, be'ula rechanotev. So a be'ula would have wine breath. And this was the first, this is where the cops got the idea. The breath analyzers, huh? And Bitula in Rechanadev, she didn't have the smell of wine. Well, isn't there a simpler way? They could have used the tzitz. No, they had a tzitz. Now, Virenu Lechnea tzitz, why didn't they use the same approach that they used in the war with Benoz Midyan? Omer of Kana, Berater of Natan, because the tzitz was given, Luratzon Lehen, was given for good things, it wasn't given for killing people. So they only used the tzitz to figure out who's supposed to be shot. L'ratzon v'lo l'puranut. You don't use the tzitz for puranut. So then how did they use it in Milchemet Binyan Nami also? Shouldn't use the tzitz. Revanche is l'ratzon lahem. Lahem l'ratzon v'lo l'puranut. But for avdei kochavim, afil l'puranut. Rav Yaakov Baridi, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, halacha, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, we pass in like Rav Shimon Yochai that a kohen is mutter in a pachos bibat shalosh shanim giyoret. Omer le Rav Zer le Rav Yaakov Baridi.
And kohenos.
What?
And kohenos.
Yeah. Omer le Rav Zer le Rav Yaakov Baridi. Did you hear this beferish from Rav Yeshua ben Levi? or are you assuming from something else he said? What is the, whenever we ask that, it's because we suspect that we know. So we always say, what do you mean? My chalala. What do you think that he used as the basis? Because when we ask that, what we really mean to say is, because if you figured it out from somewhere else, we have a way of proving, not approving, but a way of attacking your assumption. So first I want to know, did you actually hear it from him, or you made an assumption? If you made an assumption, now I'm going to go to attack it. So, my chalala, what is it that we know, that we're assuming, is what this was based on? And then we would attack it and say it was wrongly based. The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, since Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi reports that Ir Achat, Haitab Eretz Israel, Shekara Alav Arav, there was a particular city that people were saying that there was a problem with the Kohanim in that city, and there was some type of psul in the Kuna, and people started avoiding their children to marry. So Shagar Rebbe is Rebbe Ruminus. Rebbe sent Rebbe Ruminus to find out what's going on over there, and to paskin definitively, is this city kosher for the Kuna or not? So he went, and he was Bedek in the annals of the city over there, in the Kehillah lists of Yuchsin and so on. And he found that what had happened was, there was a Bat Gioret, who was Pchutami Bat Shalosh Shanim, that had been married, and people were claiming was Psula Lekuna, and married into the Kuna, and everybody was saying, so awesome, and they're all Chalalim, and so on. And he paskined that this is wrong. Hichshira Rebbe Lekuna. Rebbe went ahead and was matir her to the Kuna. So maybe it's on that basis, because since this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who says over this story, so obviously Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is passing like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that the Kohanim over here are mutar and not chalolim. Omalein, no, it's not based on that story. I heard directly from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi the words halacha Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. I didn't jump to any conclusions. By the way, and what would you care? If I did learn it out from here, this is pretty good basis. I mean, what would be wrong if I said, from the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says over a Maisa, Shalokal Maisa, Maisa Rab, that a Kohen is allowed to marry a woman who is Pchutami Bat Shalosh Shanim at the time she became a Gioret? So what's the problem? What's wrong? Ah, there's a big difference. Dilma Shani Atam Holi Insif. Insif. Maybe once she was married, so we let her stay. But that doesn't mean lechatchila he would be matir lekuna the way Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was matir lekuna. I mean, after all, we did just find a case in which we relied on that idea of all the intziv, because Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, remember, back by the sugya of Bogeret and Mukatetz. So Rav and Rabbi Yochanan both agree that a Kohen girl is not allowed to marry lechatchila the Bogeret and Mukatetz. But if he did, he doesn't have to divorce her. We proved that yesterday. Maybe same thing over here. Maybe Enoch Inami wasn't allowed to marry her. But if he did, he did. Oh, come on, please. Achi Hashta, remember the whole. This is so illogical. The whole reason that we said that he can keep her is because anyway, in every marriage, she's going to end up becoming the equivalent of a Bogeret and a Mukadet. So therefore we said, so now it's over already, so let him keep her the way he always would. I understand, over here, he married his Zona. So he married her, let her keep her. What kind of stupidity is that? I understand. Comparing a case where it's logical to say all the incivinci to a case where it's illogical to say all the incivinci. Ah! So even if it had been, it wasn't. But even if it had been, I understand what your objection is. Bishleim ha'atam, so far li'yot bogera tachtav, we said. So faliyot lulat taktav. What are you going to say over here? Haka so faliyot zonat taktav. What's the matter with you? Indeed, it's interesting that Rav Safra matni la michalala. Rav Safra had a Kabbalah that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had passed, like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, based on this maaseh, and it always bothered him. Kasha was, and I don't understand why it's really comparable. I mean, over there she was already married. Mishanele, and he answered it exactly the way we just did. Mishanele, hachi, exactly like we did. So what if they're already married? When it comes to zona, there's no difference if you're already married or not. There was a case of Ahu Kahana, the Ansiv Gioret Chutami Bat Shaloshim in Yom Echad. So based on this wonderful psak, comes along a Kohen, and he marries a Gioret who is less than Shaloshim Yom Echad. Shem Bar Yochai said, Lechat Kiva, she's Mukarit. Revi Paskin, that's Ksheira Lakuna. What's the problem? So he went ahead and he married her. Omalei Reb Nachum Rayitz, Reb Nachum Rayitz called him in to Bezdin. He said, what the heck is going on over here? You're a Kohen. What are you marrying a Gioret? My eye. Oh, my land. What do you mean? Amr of Yaakov Bar Yidi, Amr of Yishuvim Levi. Allah to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. All I did was follow the halacha. Oh, my land. Yeah, you followed the halacha. Let me tell you something, buddy. Zil Afrik, you get rid of that girl right now. V'yelo, and if not, I'm going to get rid of Reb Yaakov Bar Yidi from inside your ears. Mafik lecha Reb Yaakov Bar Yidi miunach. We don't pass him like that. And you're asur to take a giyoret, even if she's p'chutami bat shalosh shani. Tanya, v'chein oye Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer. Now we also have a similar case in which, yeah, stuck a little bit late. Okay. So let's hold it at this.